This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of October 14th, 2018. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, regular features like the Is It Just Me commentary, Around the Rim, news from around the Pacific Rim, a special edition of Cascadia Calling on the BC municipal elections. The big deal feature, October 20th is almost here, and I ask candidates for Vancouver City Council why voters should choose them and what they will do for open government. Elevator pitches for your vote by independent Justin Codwell, Glenn Chernin of Coalition Vancouver, independent Hamdi Al-Rayez, Pete Vry of the Vancouver Greens, Colleen Hardwick of the NPA, Rohanna Rizal of Pro Vancouver, and Anne Roberts of COPE. And I will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to those who deserve it. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or are the next 4 years going to be a circus in municipalities around British Columbia, particularly in Metro Vancouver? The unprecedented turnover in the mayor's offices and city council chambers means a slew of rookie politicians will be coming into office after the October 20th elections. That can be a good thing. I've long argued for term limits, because nobody should be spending more than a decade in political office. Heck, it should be capped at 8 years, or two terms. Our governments need fresh ideas and a new set of eyes for accountability. But there are some pitfalls when too many people exit. A lack of institutional knowledge, for instance, and the lack of post-employment limits on what they can do. How many of the old mayors will become new lobbyists? There will be a learning curve. These new politicians will need to understand their public officials and must spend their expense accounts wisely, and they must also respect the public's right to know. But you just know there will be hiccups along the way, perhaps a scandal or three. It will be up to the media and the public to keep a close watch on the rookies and those incumbents who get back in. But first things first, if you've already voted in the advance polls, good on you. If you haven't voted, there still is time to research who is running in your community and for you to ask those people questions. Questions like the ones I asked City of Vancouver Council candidates, like why should voters choose you and what will you do for openness at City Hall? What do you think? Send me an email to Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the South China Morning Post, Alvin Lum and Kimmy Chung report, ex-British Foreign Secretary and U.S. Senator urge action on Hong Kong visa refusal of Financial Times journalist Victor Mallet. Malcolm Rifkin said Britain should make retaining the integrity of the handover settlement a top priority, while Marco Rubio reiterated calls for the U.S. to review Hong Kong's human rights situation before continuing to grant the city its special economic and trade status. Quote, "It exposes a worrying trend that Hong Kong's core values, including free expression and the rule of law, are under pressure," Rifkin wrote, adding that national security is increasingly being used to justify the disproportionate constrictions on fundamental rights. Rubio, who co-chairs the U.S. Congressional Executive Commission on China, cited reports of foreign news agencies being forced to close bureaus in China in the past and said Mallet's case reflected how similar tactics were now being extended to Hong Kong. The senator said Beijing's goal was to influence global coverage by denying access to journalists who go too far. Several international papers, including the New York Times and the Washington Post, also expressed their concerns in respective editorials titled China's Media Crackdown Spreads to Hong Kong and China's Authoritarian Export. In the Japan Times, Kyoto reports, Yamato agrees to jointly develop flying delivery trucks with U.S. firm. Yamato Holdings Company has agreed to jointly develop an unmanned cargo aircraft with Bell Helicopter Textron to launch the flying truck by the mid-2020s amid a labor shortage in the logistics industry. Yamato said it will develop the cargo container while Bell will build the body of the autonomous aircraft. The companies expect the vehicle will carry cargo weighing up to 453 kilograms at 160 kilometers per hour and be able to take off and land vertically and cruise horizontally. In a related move, the government of Japan has begun discussions with private businesses on the practical use of flying cars, with a goal of commercializing them in the 2020s. And in the Sydney Morning Herald, Matt Bungard reports, "Lightning strikes twice. Usain Bolt scores brace for Mariners." Usain Bolt might not be ready for the rigors of an A-League campaign just yet, but he showed a glimpse of what someone with his physical gifts can achieve in the sport, bagging his first goals for the Central Coast Mariners at Campbelltown Stadium on October 12th. His second-half goal against MacArthur Southwest United put the Mariners 3-0 up, as almost 6,000 people packed in to see the Olympic sprinting legend, who then added a gift second, but in reality he could have scored a few more in the 4-0 win. His trademark celebration followed as the crowd roared and a slew of fireworks lit up the night sky, but Bolt wasn't done. As his manager was being interviewed on the sidelines, a defensive mix-up at the back saw defender and keeper crash into each other and Bolt on hand to tap into an empty net for his second, just as he was to be substituted. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling, a special edition looking at the municipal election races. This week, the Breaker reported that, did the candidate for Vancouver mayor who wants to fix housing help to fix an election? The Breaker has revealed that Hector Bremner of the Yes Vancouver Party worked on Christy Clark's leadership campaign and by-election campaign in 2011. Bremner's email address appears on two messages on February 25, 2011, from BC Liberal MLA Harry Bloy. The messages contain 99 personal identification numbers for the BC Liberal Party's phone and internet voting in the convention to replace Gordon Campbell. A provincial court judge heard in January of this year that RCMP detectives found evidence of block voting in a proxy process, and it apparently played a role in Christy Clark edging Kevin Falcon on the third ballot to become the Premier of British Columbia. It is a mystery what happened with those PIN numbers after Hector Bremner and two other BC Liberal operatives received the email from Bloy. Bremner was elected to City Council in October 2017. He did not respond to repeated requests for comment. Police in Richmond, Burnaby, and Vancouver are investigating vote buying through the Chinese app called WeChat. The Canada Wenju Friendship Society offered $20 for transportation to the polls and gave recommendations to vote for Fred Harding or Wai Young for Vancouver mayor, Hong Guo for Richmond mayor, and several other Chinese candidates. The Canada Wenju Friendship Society held a donation ceremony at the end of August in Richmond for many of the same candidates. Only BC residents who are Canadian citizens or permanent residents are allowed to make political donations. Political parties like Vancouver First and Coalition Vancouver are targeting Chinese donors and voters. But intelligence agencies in Canada, the US, and Australia have all warned that the Chinese government is trying to influence local elections through political donations and candidate selection. And Surrey contenders keep campaign finances under wraps. Vancouver's nonpartisan association has raised more than $830,000, but Surrey's main three contenders are not releasing their lists of donors before Election Day. The law says the returns are due 3 months after Election Day, but parties in Vancouver disclosed their preliminary lists in 2014 and again in 2018 before Election Day. Safe Surrey Coalition's Doug McCallum did not respond to The Breaker. Gord Schoberg, financial agent for the Tom Gill-led Surrey First, said the party wouldn't disclose because the campaign is ongoing. In 2014, ex-mayor Doug McCallum raised almost $260,000. His campaign reported almost $80,000 in donations from developer Bob Chima's companies. Chima was behind a failed bid for a casino in South Surrey in 2013. In 2014, Surrey First raised almost $1.07 million. The three biggest donors to Surrey First in 2014 were the Surrey Firefighters at $32,000, SVH Management for $27,250, and BOSA Properties for $21,000. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. October 20th is Municipal Election Day across British Columbia. There are 71 people running for City Council in the City of Vancouver, and we have almost 10% of them on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. I asked the following 7 people why they should get your vote and what they will do if elected to reverse the secrecy of the Vision Vancouver decade. What they will do for open government. You'll hear from Independent Justin Codwell, Coalition Vancouver's Glenn Chernin, Independent Hamdi El Rayaz, Vancouver Green Pete Fry, the NPA's Colleen Hardwick, Pro Vancouver's Rohanna Rizel, and COPE's Ann Roberts. First up is Independent Justin Codwell. Why should people vote for you?
Well, voters should vote for me and elect me because I come from a financial background. I understand the $1.8 billion budget. I understand the duties of council, and I will never forget every day that I'm an employee of the citizens of this city. And I believe this is the year of the independents. I don't think that's a good thing. I think it's a sign that things have gotten so bad that we're ready to think in unorthodox approaches. One of my strengths as an independent is I don't talk like a politician. If you ask me a straight up question, not only am I going to listen, but I'm going to give you a straight up answer.
And secondly, want a straight up answer to this question. If you become a city councilor on October 20th, what will you do to make City of Vancouver and Vancouver City Hall an open government?
Yeah, great question. One way to make government more open is to make it smaller and making financial documents more digitally available. Talked to lots of people and they're mostly concerned when it comes to finances. And, you know, these have to be new days in Vancouver. The Vision Party's way of selling density and backroom deals are over if I'm elected. If we are selling public land, we shouldn't be making crony deals of selling them for 50 cents on the dollar. Like, as a shareholder of this city right now, I think that if we're going to sell an asset, we should have a public auction, you know, and making a list of all the city-owned assets with assessments digitally available and making it so the city or the citizen shouldn't have to go hunting for it.
That was Independent candidate Justin Codwell. Next up is Coalition Vancouver candidate Glenn Chernin.
Hi, my name is Glenn Chernin. I'm running for City Council at City of Vancouver, and I would like to bring transparency and accountability to City Hall. I also like to dramatically improve city financial management so I can pass the savings on to you while improving city service levels. I'd like to redirect city energy away from building luxury housing and instead focus squarely on creating housing for locals. My goal is not to promise the impossible, but to make Vancouver more affordable for everyone by improving the finances of Vancouver with realistic, accountable financial practices. I'll put my energy towards improving Vancouver's asset management operations to generate more money internally so we can eliminate our debt, reduce fees charged to residents, and allow the city to improve its services. I will restore integrity, accountability to our city by employing common sense approaches that are answerable to the residents.
And if you become a city councilor on October 20th, what will you do to make Vancouver City Hall an open government?
Well, our city's mistakes have been concealed rather than being disclosed. The critics have been ignored instead of praised. City expenditures have never been questioned internally, and our losses are never revealed. Our elected officials should not operate in fear of public scrutiny. We need to learn from that scrutiny. It's called listening to the public. And from that scrutiny comes learning, and only then can we begin to improve the city. I know firsthand, as well as anybody, that our city is not working, and it's broken because of a lack of transparency, honesty, and accountability. If there's one thing I will accomplish at City Hall, it'd be giving residents the clearest lens inside City Hall that we've ever had. By creating a new solid foundation of openness, I think that we can do great things for the City of Vancouver.
That was Coalition Vancouver's Glenn Chernin. Next up, Independent Hamdi El Rayaz.
Well, because I have the experience and the knowledge and the desire to serve the people, I have been living in Vancouver for 28 years now, and I'm very disappointed with how the people are treated at the City Council. I have two areas. I have worked as an environmental engineer, served with many cities of North America, including Vancouver, And I have extensive experience with mental health and addiction, which the city needs badly to serve the population struggling with drug abuse.
Okay, the second question is, if you become a city councilor on October 20th, what will you do to make Vancouver City Hall an open government?
It's very important for us to know that we're there, we're elected to serve the people, to listen to the people, not to dictate what we want. And that is my main role. I will be the voice of the people at the city council. And I will be open to listening, to consulting with every issue that concerns them, not to make a decision before a consultation starts. I'd be echoing the voice of the people. I would be open to any suggestions, any issues, any complaints, responding to them properly.
That was Independent's Hamdi El Reyes. Next up is Vancouver Green, Pete Fry. First question, why should Vancouverites vote to make you a city councillor?
Thanks, Bob. My name is Pete Fry, and I am running with the Vancouver Greens. I'm running with a fantastic team, including Adrian Carr, Michael Weeb, David Wong. We also have three for parks and three for schools. I have a long history as a community advocate and standing up for my community and fighting for what's right. I'm known as a hard worker and somebody who brings a lot of integrity to that work. And I strongly believe that that I can replicate that work, not just for my immediate community, but citywide. And I think I'm here and ready to serve the people of Vancouver. And I think after 10 years of Vision Vancouver majority, I think we need a change. We need a positive change. We need to have a progressive government. And I hope to be part of a collaborative, progressive new government at City Hall.
If you become a city councilor on October 20th, what will you do to make Vancouver City Hall an open government?
Well, we're very big on transparency. And one of the things that we call for in our housing platform is to actually specifically have transparent and publicly available pro formas on any conditional rezoning that exacerbates some kind of public benefits. We'd like to have those independently audited. And everything we do is really couched in transparency. We're the only elected party who refused on principle to take donations from the real estate development industry. And I think that sort of speaks to our value system. And I think values and transparency are critical in this election and in running a good government.
That was Vancouver Green candidate Pete Fry. Next up, the NPA's Colleen Hardwick.
Well, two reasons, Bob. The first one is credentials, and the second one is commitment. In terms of credentials, I was born, raised, and educated in Vancouver. My family's been involved in the community for three generations. I've been involved personally since my dad was first elected as an alderman when I was 10 years old. I've sat on the city's development permit board, the mayor's task force on housing affordability. I know the city intimately. Academically, I'm an urban geographer, and I'm currently doing my PhD at UBC in applied innovation. And my thesis revolves around online proof of residency and its implications for decision-making and public policy development. And professionally, I'm a civic tech entrepreneur, and this is my third company, having founded a successful film production company and digital media startup. In terms of commitment, I am the mother of two millennial daughters, and I'm soon to be a grandmother for the first time. And I feel compelled to try and do something to make Vancouver a better city, one that we can afford to live in, as well as our children and our children's children.
What would you do to bring open government to City Hall?
Well, trust in government is at an all-time low. And in order to restore some trust, we need to be authentic and transparent in the relationship between the public and public sector. And we elect representatives to represent us. We don't elect dictators to dictate to us. So citizens must be involved in order to shape their lives and the futures within their neighborhoods. So we need to really be consulting with people in an authentic way. We need to be keeping things visible. We need to be able to, for example, have a line item budget detail available to the people of the city. So at the end of the day, we need to be able to influence decisions and policies in an open, authentic, and transparent way, and we have the technology.
That was the NPA's Colleen Hardwick. Next up is Pro Vancouver's Rohanna Rizel.
I've been fighting in the trenches against the global dirty money that's pricing Vancouverites out of our city. So I know a lot of candidates are making all these promises, and they're talking about affordability, about tackling speculation. But you know what? I've been doing it. As an ordinary citizen, I've been doing what I can. I've been trying to get the data. I've been speaking out at public hearings. I've been writing blog posts about the topic. Yeah, I've been trying to educate the people about what's going on, trying my best to stop speculation, Airbnb, and all the other factors that have made our city unaffordable. And I've been trying to get the data out of the city for as long as I can remember. And I, as you know, Bob, I've come to you for help a few times when the city has thrown obstacles my way.
And what would you do to make Vancouver City Hall an open government? 30 seconds.
I will make as much of the data as possible public by default, and I'll ensure that we put more staff in place dealing with freedom of information requests. Instead of having 43 people in the comms department, I'll have that many people in the FOI department to make sure that we meet the request by the deadline, not ask for extensions, not ask for these funny ways of delaying it.
That was Pro Vancouver's Rohanna Rizel. Next up, Copes and Roberts.
Well, I think one of the first reasons is because I was elected before. Granted, it was a while ago, almost 15 years ago. I served on city council from 2002, 2005. So if I am elected, I'd be one of the few who have some experience of actually knowing how to be a city councilor. I was also elected as a school board trustee, so I have some experience. My background's in journalism and a lot of following civic government and all over time. So I think the most important reason for electing me is because of the policies and platform that COPE is running on, and that's all around making this a city for the poor, for the working class, for the renters. We are in great danger of just becoming a city for the rich. And COPE has some very good policies that actually could work to pool or freeze rents for 4 years and also to build housing, co-op housing, get profits out of housing, stop relying on the market for housing, but build the kind of housing of co-ops and others. The city has land. We have a lot of wealth. This could be done, and COPE has a very practical program for achieving that.
And last question, if you become a city councilor October 20th, what will you do to make Vancouver City Hall an open government?
Well, I think the first thing would be to instruct all staff from the city manager on down that the Freedom of Information Act should be that things are open and that it is sent out in an open way, and that only as a last resort should journalists, should citizens have to apply for things. A big thing I would do is to cut out that communications office that is attached to the mayor's office. I think there's 30 some communications people shouldn't be part of the mayor's office. I think they should be a job that is informing people, but not involved with the public relations for a political party.
You just heard Independent Justin Caldwell, Coalition Vancouver's Glenn Chernin, Independent Hamdi Al-Raz, Vancouver Green Pete Fry, the NPA's Colleen Hardwick, Pro Vancouver's Rohanna Rizel, Copes and Roberts. They're all running for your votes in the Vancouver civic election on October 20th. Vote October 20th in your community in British Columbia. Go to elections.bc.ca for more information. News tips and questions? Email me, bob@thebreaker.news. Every week, we end the Breaker.news podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to a deserving person or organization that has made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to retired RCMP officers, retired municipal police officers, retired firefighters, retired ambulance paramedics. The BC government will not be giving retired RCMP officers special veterans license plates after all. Regardless, we should give a tip of the hat to the first responders who spend their careers keeping our communities safe. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send us an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Well, that's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of October 14th, 2018. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on October 14th in 1964, civil rights leader Martin Luther King won the Nobel Peace Prize for fighting racism peacefully? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. Thanks to some of our supporters like Quan Lee, Randy Sogstad, James Platt, Spruce Hill Contracting, Daryl Greer, Barbara May, Elville Chiez, John Kennedy, and Dave and Burnaby. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week, get out to vote.